That is true. Quite an affinity for Italians here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig here with you on a football Friday as we charge towards a Saturday wild card matchup between your Texans and the Los Angeles Chargers at NRG Stadium. Shout out to the text line where you can always get involved in the program, 713-572-4610, where we got a text that said, "Wait, I came into the conversation late. Which one of you was paying for an ex-husband?" That's absolutely how I heard it as well. That is definitely how I heard what Seth said there. That is not what he meant, clearly. But
okay, Reggie, I'm going to read your text to me just to put a bow on that.
Okay, very good.
Reggie, here's the text exchange. Reggie says, "How are we holding up?" This was texted to me at 9:52 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
This is during the Notre Dame Penn State game. For those, I just text back, calm, one word. And then I said, and I have no idea why, I should be pooping myself.
Yeah.
Graphic language. Reggie says, "I love that for you. It'll help when we end up in a 2-point conversion shootout for a national championship game bid."
Mm-hmm.
And I replied, "Damn you."
I hope I didn't dissettle you too much in that moment. But yeah.
I was holding up quite well, by the way. I was just like, okay, well, $100.
So are you watching tonight so you know how to
hit?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I need to get with you afterwards.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
About anything in particular?
About hedging.
Okay, very good. That is entertainment purpose dollars happening right there.
Yes.
All right. We'll talk more about that game here coming up soon. And, I mean, college football playoff has been very entertaining. But I'm really entertained, or at least trying to get myself very entertained for this matchup tomorrow. It feels weird that it's a Saturday, that it's actually tomorrow. I'm going to enjoy it being on a Saturday in some ways, because then Sunday feels like you have it to, like, decompress, get yourself ready for the week. But man, what has you most hyped for this game? Because it being on a Saturday is one.
Figgy,
but
did it.
It's not the top of the list for me.
Figgy did it. We've spent the week, and we'll talk about some of this today. You know, all the ins and outs, and let's wring our hands over this, or hey, maybe they got a chance here or there. What has me most hype is this is playoff football, man. I mean, it can really be that simple. To me, it is that simple. It is a home game. Playoff football, 2 years in a row, with still a chance to advance to a divisional round. Who knows what that's going to be? And the Houston Texans are equipped. I'll put it that way, because we know the story about this team, but they are equipped, as we've seen, you know, on occasion this year and certainly last year, to do it. You know, to do it. You know, and I'm not trying to be hokey. You know, every time the playoffs come around, you just feel different. You know, you just feel different about things, and you have a chance until you don't.
Yeah.
That's what I'm most excited about and has me most hyped about this game.
That's fair. What's the old cliche? You just got to get in the dance, right?
Yeah, that's exactly
there,
right.
Yeah, everybody has an opportunity to... There you go, cliche. Thank you. I appreciate that. But yes, you just got to get into the tournament, which you are, right? And you handled up on that weeks before the season was over. And, I mean, we could talk about the way that you've played and all those things, but ultimately the chance exists, and that alone should give you a level of excitement and energy. For me, you talk about the equipment, right?
Yeah.
Being equipped for this. One of the first things that popped up that legitimately has me juiced, right? Because we know that this defense is the front foot of what this Texas team does, and right at the heart of it, you have finally... It feels like we've been waiting all year long for this.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say something that might be a little explicit. I don't know if I should say on air, but yeah, man, they've been teasing us in some ways, getting us to the place where finally we get to see the complement of Azeez Al-Shaair and Christian Harris playing alongside each other. I want to see just how good that can be.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, a lot of times, you know, Figgy hits this Rocky music to kind of get us feeling a certain way, as people like to say. But I think it's appropriate this year. It is a Rocky kind of thing, you know, if you want to believe what people are talking about in this game the Chargers got a bye, and, you know, everybody's counting the Texans
out. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a little, man. You got to get the people hype, man.
Yeah.
This ain't getting me hype right. The music
all right, okay.
is cool.
All right.
You got to talk to the people, man.
All right,
Let me play this again.
Go.
You got to get the people hyped,
I'm telling
man.
You, man. It's time.
This is playoff football,
This is
man.
Playoff football.
Now you got to put more bass in your voice, man.
This is playoff football.
There
you go. Wait, hold on. I felt something. Let's go.
Here we go.
Playoff football. No, you started getting on one of those things that
Like, they are Rocky.
Interesting.
We play this all the time, Figgy.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the postseason.
What the hell does that make the Chargers?
Well, I guess
they're not Ivan Drago.
I guess they're the original Rocky. They're Apollo Creed.
They don't even feel like they stand up to Apollo Creed here.
But
though.
What I'm saying is, in terms of the Texans' chances, like, oh yeah, well,
let some people tell.
Like,
it, I guess.
What did they say about Rocky? Oh, he's a game fighter. Oh, he'll take a punch. You know. Oh, he's tough. All this, but they never gave him a chance.
Okay.
They never gave him a chance.
Ain't nobody giving the Houston Texans
nobody.
A chance.
Nobody.
Rex Ryan said it was a bye week.
Yeah.
Rex Ryan, step up to this podium. Let me hear your voice one more time.
Jason Kelce said he ain't checking out the Texans game, even though he did clear that up.
With an asterisk. We'll put an asterisk in there. But this is no time for context.
They counted you out. I'm going to go full-blown Michael Irvin.
They don't believe in
they
you.
They don't believe in you. Do you believe now? Do you believe now?
I'm telling
you,
that's how I feel.
No, but the opportunity to prove doubt is wrong.
And it is the defense.
Sure.
The defense is the counterpunch.
Now, the opportunity to prove doubters wrong absolutely factors in here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I mean, we're kind of playing around with it, but, you know, it's a typical athlete thing to find motivation where it might not actually be, if we're going to be completely honest. But... this is a unique week where you got plenty of that out here, right? You've got plenty of the proverbial bulletin board material.
Yeah.
And I imagine that there has got to be some level of, if you ride with these Texans in a very real way, the opportunity to bring these things back around and say, hey, Rex Ryan, hey, all you other people around the nation and all you other fans that thought we couldn't do it, nanny, nanny, boo, boo.
Yeah.
Look at what we just did, and the opportunity for that to happen got to get people hyped.
And forget Rex Ryan and all the national media. The Chargers wanted you.
Yeah.
They were rooting to get you.
Yeah.
They didn't want to play Baltimore, Pittsburgh, whoever. They want to play you.
Yes. The easy out. You know, the easy out is what they wanted. I'm telling you, who's not going to believe any of this is certainly, you know, we know the players are not, but that stadium is going to be rocking, man. That stadium.
It needs to be.
That stadium is going to be rocking.
It needs to be. Like, the opportunity to put a real hometown home field advantage on, you know, on display for this game is absolutely one of those. And we know the Chargers is not like it's not a robust fan base. And I definitely don't think that it's one that we could say like travels per se.
Mm-hmm.
And so an opportunity for this building to not be overtaken. To really be displaying, you know, the deep steel blue and the battle red and like the Texans pride in that building and for the, you know, the players on the field, for Justin Herbert to have to maybe, you know, them have to go to a silent count or maybe have to call a timeout because they can't communicate, which we've seen. Have you seen some of these videos of late of Justin Herbert getting absolutely frustrated with his line and with his team for not making the right motions or snapping the ball on time? Like, I would love to have one or two of those come up. When we come around to Sunday and Monday and they're putting out the mic'd up videos that as NFL does, and Justin Herbert was frustrated because his team could not get themselves together because of the noise in the
stadium. And I want to talk about, one of the things that you referenced here, like they are equipped to do it. Can they do it? We've been talking about it all week. There are reasons to believe and reasons not to. But they have Nico Collins healthy. You look at the injury report yesterday. The only one who's not around is Shaq Mason. They have a better offensive line without Shaq Mason. I think we can all agree. So they are equipped. They have C.J. Stroud, who we talked about this week, is a gamer from way back, from high school to Ohio State and on. Are they going to dial it up? I don't know, but they're going to have all the weapons to do it. They have Joe Mixon now, ready to go. They have, especially what you talked about, the defense, a full complement of linebackers. They have... maybe outside of Patrick Surtain, the best cornerback in the NFL. They have Kalen Bullock. The ball finds Kalen Bullock. I think there will be a turnover here. You know, they have a defense. They have defensive ends that were that are going to be facing terrific tackles, but are incredible. We heard Will Anderson talking yesterday. Basically saying, I don't care who's lined across from me. We're going to do what we do. So the pieces are there. They are equipped. And this is an opportunity to shut everybody up. Like Figgy said, they chose you.
Yeah, they wanted you.
Do you think we can get a We Want Houston chant going?
Absolutely,
because
we can.
That came in on the text line. You're absolutely right. Like, that is essentially what everybody wanted. Mm-hmm. Or everybody said, like, we want Houston.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers seemingly wanted that. And if you are inclined to have the context that is best suited for your imagination, if not actually the truth. Remember, we had the audio Justin Herbert out here saying that, you know, he checked in on the Steelers game last week.
Things were going well.
Things were going well. They wanted this situation.
He heard the cheering.
You asked for this. Mm-hmm. You wanted this. So yeah, this would be interesting. Someone asked, what colors will the Texans be wearing? It's the deep steel blue uniforms. Mm-hmm. Like we're going as cut and dry as possible. We're getting right to the business of this all.
Yeah.
Of doing this.
Somebody said, we don't need a fashion show on the field, man. No, let's get the business.
Not a pretty stuff need to be the scoreboard afterwards. That is what
we
needs
did
to be
the A-Sound Blue and all that stuff twice. Nah, we good.
Need
we,
to come in like Mike Tyson. Black shorts, black shoes, no socks.
Yeah, come in with the hey, we need to come in with the lunch.
That's
pail.
What they need to do. Black shorts, black shoes, no socks.
By the way, shout out to Big Sarge, because I know that he has alluded to this. And who was this, Kamari? One of these players on the defense, and I believe it's Kamara, I might need to go and double check and find it, just got a stack of Black Air Force Ones.
Oh, yeah.
In the locker room. Yeah. We need Black Air Force One energy.
That's the type of energy we need,
yes,
man.
Yes.
That's the energy I would like to see in this game. Some other things that are exciting. Someone said they got short ribs already for tomorrow, and that actually brings me back to one of the things that is like not on the field, but I'm just generally excited for this game. The opportunity to tailgate again. Like, honestly, this is going to be the last one, even if you win, right? Because likelihood is you'd be going on the road unless some major wild things happen.
Yeah,
it's got to
be a major upsets.
But, hey, man, one more time to get out here amongst the Texans faithful and get ready for the game with, you know, food, drinking, and jubilation. Mm-hmm. Like, I am super excited for as well.
Yeah, no, I came in this morning. You know, we oftentimes just sort of like try to analyze and, opine and, talk about all the ins and outs of the game. I came in today with a very raw emotion of it's here. It's the playoffs and you're equipped to get it done. And I think a lot of the Texans fans, that's how they're approaching this game. Figgy was just talking about it as well. You've been talking about it. Like it doesn't matter at this point. Like the bell is ringing. You're going to go out and start throwing punches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excited for this one. Somebody mentioned the old Daryl K. Royal quote. When it comes to the jerseys, we're not going to candy these things up. These are work clothes.
Yeah, man,
that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see some other things that came in on text line. Is it too smoke for me to make Texans T-shirts that say Chargers? You want this smoke? Hey, man, never too. In fact, might be getting a little too late. You need to get them jerseys together, man, or them shirts together. That is a 3:30 kick at NRG Stadium. Like you are just over what, like 24? Well, I guess
a little over 24 hours,
like 28 mm-hmm. hours, something to that effect. 29 hours, very about. Hey, man, get those things done at this point. But
281, mess with the bull, get the horns.
Hey, that is the energy that you'd like to see. Now, when it comes down to this game is the start of your run, right? This is the start of the playoffs. And with the entirety of the playoffs, what's the goal, Lopez?
You got to just win. Just win in advance.
Stack four of them, you win a Super Bowl. The Athletic put together a why each AFC playoff team will win the Super Bowl and why they won't. When it comes to your Houston Texans, if we maybe this is bulletin board material or whatever, what do you believe their current Super Bowl odds to be when it comes to just like percentage chance that they win the Super Bowl?
Probably 10.
Figgy?
I think it's less than that.
Figgy would be correct.
About 5.
1.6%.
Oh, God.
A 1.6% chance.
They don't believe in you.
That's right.
That's right.
They don't believe in you.
Yeah.
You got to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to bring it.
Yep. 1.6% chance.
But they say why they will win the Super Bowl, because, again, they do this for every team. The offense somehow finds their 2023 rhythm after a disastrous 2024 campaign.
Okay, that's what we're talking about.
Last season, the Texans rolled into the playoffs with an explosive passing offense and never reappeared this season. In fact, quarterback C.J. Stroud's passing numbers would make you believe that he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league this year. Harsh. Considering his bottom seven drop-back success rate that only ranks ahead of Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Cooper Rush, and Daniel Jones. But if they get back to their explosive ways, the Texans can make a run. And that's one of the things that, yeah, man, I know that Bobby's talked about this. We might have some skepticism on the capabilities of getting it done, but, man, they got to be able to get these deep shots off, man.
Look, 1.6%, that should be on the scoreboard. Like, just that quote. They have a 1.6% chance of winning the Super Bowl, but that is what we're talking about. That 1.6% chance, it's an insult, but you are in the game. And everything they said about why they can, the explosive plays, what I've mentioned. C.J. Stroud's what we've mentioned. All those things are still out there. Let's get it done.
Oh, wow. There's a 64-year fan of the Chargers in the YouTube right now. said their posse will be in our stadium on Sunday.
What posse?
We'll see.
No, I do think there's going to be some Chargers fans there. They got a bad rate because they don't have a big, you know, at home they always get, you know, visiting fans there and all that. There's a lot of Chargers fans, though. You know, there are. I don't know if they're going to be here.
They might be in San Diego.
Well, that too. Yeah,
and, shout out to that gentleman that stayed with them. But it'll be interesting to see how many of them actually stayed with the team after the move and traveling out to the city of Houston. Somebody said they're coming out, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Make sure they feel welcome, but not too welcome, yes. Texas fans. It should be a fun one.
Let's
tomorrow.
Keep the drama low. Let's not start no drama.
Yeah, it's going to be a little chilly. I mean, I know you people
are trying. But sunny. It's going to be sunny tomorrow.
That is good. Yeah, I know people want to, you know, stay warm, but the fighting is not the activity.
Yeah, though. I want to see no video of some 50-year-old.
Got to get loosened up there. Got to get loosened up.
Yeah, I want to see no 50-year-old man trying to fight in the stands, man. We don't need to see that, man.
No, we don't. Nobody wants to see
let's
that.
Let's keep it class.
Yeah.
Hype for the game that you'll be able to hear right here on Sports Radio 610. Pre-game starts at 12:30 with Sean and Seth, and then rolls right into the football game, 3:30, NRG Stadium.
Let's go.
Wild card weekend gets going versus the Chargers. All right.
I'm ready now. That helped.
I think so.
I woke up this morning thinking, all right, man, we're playing.
Yeah, man, we're getting there, man. Yeah. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about the college football semifinals. We had one that was played yesterday. Really fun game. Recount that and get ready for the game tonight in the Cotton Bowl. We'll talk about all that next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Happy Friday to you. Football Friday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Adetula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. Getting ready for a Saturday contest. Apparently I said Sunday, got in the habit of doing that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Saturday contest tomorrow, 3:30, Texans, Chargers. You'll hear that here on your home of the Texans Sports Radio 610. somebody said they'll show up late if they show up on Sunday. That's right.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm not the person who coordinates nothing for the team. Not no hotels, not no flights or nothing. You would not want me doing that. Let's talk a little bit about some college football, because that was a really fun
is the word,
Orange Bowl game that we got to watch yesterday, and I imagine it was a little tough to watch if you had a level of investment, but it was so fun if you were a neutral observer like me. Mm-hmm. And I imagine Figgy to some degree in that game. I don't know how Figgy feels about it, because I mean he was looking at who he would want to be the opponent for his Ohio State Buckeyes.
I kind of wanted a Big Ten championship game.
I bet you did.
But I don't care, man.
Yeah.
It's good to see Penn State lose. James Franklin lose.
Yeah. It's going to be a long offseason for old James Franklin.
You think so?
I do, but I think it's a little bit unfair. Because, yes, you can criticize maybe a little too aggressive there at the end, which led to the interception, which led to the field goal. That's a fair argument, more than fair, and that's something that people have complained about and talked about with James Franklin. He doesn't finish. He always finds a way to his team always finds a way to not get it done. But man, that's not what I saw for damn near 55 minutes, 56 minutes, however long it was before that the end of the game, because I guess the best way to put it, we were talking about this with Sean and Seth, was it a great game? I wouldn't say like played an extremely high level from the quarterback position either way. So I wouldn't say it was necessarily great. Not a lot of big time plays. When you have one team with receivers that have zero receptions and 0 yards, that's not going to be great. But it was intense. It was dramatic. It was fun. There were ebbs and flows, like everything that you need to have in a game like that. But Penn State is going to be, criticized. Oh, that you've already seen it. James Franklin is now 1-15 against top 5 teams. Okay, that is number. That's not what I saw last night. That was a strong, strong Penn State performance for the most part.
Yeah, I think James Franklin going to get a lot of criticism because it's James Franklin his shortcomings in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
But him getting this far, I don't think they're going to move on from him or anything, man. Mm-hmm. They going to keep him for a little bit unless he just, like, the next season just, like, blow up or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
No, I mean, James Franklin, as this texter says, they're right. James Franklin is a good coach. This game especially does not feel like it fits very well into
the narrative. I agree.
But you know what? Sometimes just it's a college football thing of having the narrative that is like fun to point to, which is James Franklin losing in these big games. I believe, if I remember correctly, like he might be 0-5 against top five teams in these bowl games or something.
1-15 all time.
1-15 all time.
Yeah. To me, this
top five teams.
To me, this kind of remind me of how we poke fun at the Cowboys over the past couple years, where we'd be like, "Hey, see, they suck in the playoffs, but they was like 12-4 or something like that. Yeah. But they just blow up in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They just lose it in the playoffs."
Now, all that said, you know, as much as I'm kind of, I guess, defending James Franklin here. I mean, Drew Aller went completely brain dead on the big. Was that James Franklin's fault?
Yes, in some ways.
The aggressiveness part.
No.
What?
This is something that I find to be fascinating in college football is that is a five-star dude. Like, that was one of the
they think he's an NFL prospect.
The most highly touted quarterbacks. And it feels like so often that we get those five-star quarterbacks come in and they just don't turn into like really high-level quarterbacks. Mm. In college football. And one of the things that makes me wonder is, like, what's the development situation?
Okay, well, that's
happening?
A bigger, broader Franklin discussion.
Sure, but I mean,
I'm talking about, like, last night. That dude just went brain dead. That's not a pass that he makes. I mean, he was crying, practically.
Sure, no, but I think that that's one of the issues, right? Drew Aller has been, in some ways, problematic. I mean, they've needed to rely on their running game and getting the ball to Tyler Warren in order to, you know, make this, find any level of offense. Otherwise, they're just grinding these things out, which that game was, right? Mm-hmm. It was a very much of a grind. But yeah, the development thing was something that I was thinking about. But man, a fun game went going back and forth. And now Notre Dame is the team that will face off against one of the two teams that are playing tonight in the college football playoff championship that, mind you, is like 10 days away.
Mm-hmm. It's a week from Monday.
Like, oh, man. Yeah. But yes, you will get Notre Dame versus either Texas or Ohio State. And this game, I don't know. Figgy, how you feeling about this one? I will ask the resident Ohio State Buckeye fan.
I'm actually feeling really confident, man. Like I said, to me, y'all know me. I was not a fan of Ohio State season this year. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, after that Michigan game, man, they look like a totally different team. I don't know what type of switch they hit or red button or something like that, but I feel like that's a whole different offense out there now. So I think I feel pretty good. I think they have a really good chance to win.
I think they have a good chance to win. And the reason is, you know, the strength of Texas all year has been, boy, don't you dare run between the tackles on that defense. I think the Buckeyes are equipped to do more than that. Like they are equipped to do a lot more than that, you know, in these types, short yardage type situations, in any situation. I also feel like, you know, Texas, they've been so good all year long, but man, that red zone. And you're facing the number one red zone defense in the entire country.
Correct. And it feels like when they've gotten in the red zone, the University of Texas, what they've had for you is jump ball fade routes.
Yes.
Not saying that Sarkisian can't drop offense. I actually think the complete offense, I feel like he's really good at that. Mm-hmm. It just feels like they're limited in some capacities in doing that. And I don't know, Ohio State has been hitting their stride in a strong way to down the stretch here. So yeah, this feels like this is the one that is going to be open. That game last night felt like it was going to be that type of game, that grinded out game. And that one delivered. And yeah, going back to Drew Aller, does it feel like to you that we've just been watching the same Penn State quarterback for like 15 years?
In fact, I was like, how is this guy any different from any Penn State quarterback I've seen the last?
Why, we could probably go back to like Christian Hackenberg
years.
With this.
Yeah, 15
like
years.
Trace McSorley, Will McGloin. Levis, yeah. Matt McGloin. Like, we just, all these dudes, it feels like the same dude we've been watching over and over and over again.
I will say them, Penn State getting this far, they could possibly get like a good transfer QB in there.
Well, that's the world in which we live in.
That's probably the bright side.
What, Penn, you see, that was something that people were going to, is like, hey, are they going to have to hit the portal? And I think that they're going to stick with Drew in the way that they have him there. Although, like, with this new era, as you mentioned, there's so much. As soon as these dudes lose, there's conversations about the possibility of somebody trying to lure them away with NIL money. And some level of deal.
See, that's a Penn State of mine right there.
Yes,
I think if they feel like, nah, we just gonna run it back with the same team, I don't think they really want to win a national championship, man. I think they probably want the same type of season they had the previous.
Well, look. Speaking of which, let's look at Ohio State. You know, they brought in Will Howard, but they had everything else already. You know, they weren't quite ready to change. They brought in, I think, the defensive tackle. That was a transfer.
They brought in somebody from Alabama, I want to say, defensive back from Alabama.
Yes, and so that's about it, though.
And they kept everybody else.
They tweaked the roster, and I think that's what Penn State needs to do. You know one thing I realized last night, though?
What's that?
And that is, I have a stake in Notre Dame, obviously. We've talked about that. If they win the national championship, beer's on me. I think I win $1,100 or thereabouts. But I also realized this. I think I've kind of softened my stance on, I hate Notre Dame, because of Marcus Freeman.
That was the conversation point for a lot of folks, is that
Marcus, dude is so likable.
He is. He really is. Mm-hmm. Some of it is just like him being a conventionally attractive person. Mm-hmm. I think that helps in some regards, but young, relatable. You saw once they had an opening and they were trying to hire a head coach, mm-hmm. the players rallied around the possibility of Marcus Freeman being there. And sometimes, sometimes the juxtaposition of who you are versus who your predecessor was
and timing
does this really well, because man, did people jump at the opportunity to laugh at Brian Kelly last night? I saw,
ooh, baby, he's just sitting there.
Can I read you this quote from April of 2022 when our friend BK decided to take the job at LSU? Quote, "I want to be in an environment where I have the resources to win a national championship."
Okay.
Close quote.
Okay.
Up dirt.
Yeah, exactly. Where's Notre Dame playing again? What's their next game?
Yeah. But no, and really, Notre Dame, this new era, and mm-hmm. obviously, I don't know that you could have fully foretold that. Well, I guess we knew that this was coming. Mm-hmm. But Notre Dame in this new era of college football playoff, they stand to benefit in a big way, because really, we're probably going to move away from, conference championship games, so that thing goes away. But also, going to the national championship game, they stand to make $20 million.
They got it already.
And it goes all to them. Yes, they are guaranteed $20 million. Yeah. And there's no conference to go and split that payout with.
How about that? That's a whole roster.
Big money.
No, it's not. It's about five players.
Big money coming. So, yeah, man, that was a really fun football game. Abdul Carter has declared for the draft, and that's going to be a dude who I imagine on the Thursday night of the draft, his name will be called. I have a feeling he's not going to be waiting to more days.
He's almost a spitting image of Will Anderson to me.
Interesting.
Very much so.
Man, really, really good football.
Very player. Much so.
I will say, though, Texas better be able to run that football tonight. They really better be able to run the football.
Now that could be big for them.
If they can't run the football, then is it a wrap?
Well, they can't fall behind.
No.
They have to take a double digit 10-point, 14-point lead and then just hold on.
Yeah, game script's going to be real important to the Longhorns tonight. And one of the things that I'm really interested to see, because I know Steve Sarkisian was talking about it, right? The Cotton Bowl, at least the game, is synonymous with, or at least the locale is synonymous with the Texas Longhorns because they play there every year. But I mean, you're in the state of Texas. You imagine that should be a home game. But if there is one of those schools that is a national presence where there are fans everywhere, Ohio State's one of them. This might be the worst team mm-hmm. to have a game on some level of home turf against, because I think that might neutralize this in some way.
It's not a small school.
I have three friends that I know of, maybe more, that are going to the game, and they're Ohio State fans. They're bearing the weather and everything else. Ohio State will travel. It's gonna be fun tonight, man.
Yeah, super excited to watch the Cotton Bowl tonight and solidify who we'll see.
I wonder if CJ going to be out there. Take a quick little private jet.
Ain't no way.
I thought about it for a second before
the game.
Hey, you work with Brian Burney, man. Maybe get that Brian Burney jet. Just go out there real quick.
This time.
You know why that would also be dangerous with all the snow that's happening out there?
If he gets stuck.
Yeah. Oh, man. Can you imagine the uproar that would cause if the starter quarterback of the Texans got stuck up in Dallas?
They might run him out of town.
CJ Stroud's inactive about an hour and a half before the game.
Because it's an ice storm.
Starting quarterback.
Davis Mills.
CJ inactive.
God. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Inspired by Mitch Jeter, who put up
clutch.
The game-winning field goal for Notre Dame and stopped my my dream of having a two-point shootout in a semifinal game. What is the most clutch moment of your life, sports or otherwise? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Let us know. We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, we were just talking about the college football playoff semifinals. We got another one coming tonight with the Cotton Bowl, but last night the Orange Bowl delivered. We had interceptions and interceptions that should have been and all sorts of crazy flags that ultimately led up to a singular moment to decide whether the game would continue on into maybe perpetuity or if it would end at that moment. And one man's name was called. Who was that man?
Mitch Jeter.
Yeah, Jeets. Mitch Jeter stepped up to...
Beat the Aggies the same way. They were tied 13-13 with the Aggies at the end. In the
so
first
you familiar with this work?
I'm very familiar with
you're
this
You're not salty at all, are you?
No, but they were right there. Aggies could have been a national championship game. Think about that.
Get out of here. this is Mitch Jeter coming up clutch.
41-yard attempt. Snap and hold are good. The kick is good!
Clutch! Clutch moment for the kicker.
Clutch.
To get... that kick to go, and that vaults Notre Dame into the national championship game where Jeremiah Love, the running back for Notre Dame, who was very good in this one, he said, we want to play Ohio State. So he has a rooting interest. He's like, look, man, I want to make sure we get the team that we feel is the best out there.
Man, he had an angry run. He had an angry run for a touchdown. That was big time.
But it's not about Jeremiah Love. It's about Mitch Jeter being clutch.
It's about you.
Yeah, it's about you.
And Biggie.
Listener. What's the most clutch moment of your life, sports or otherwise? 713-572-4610.
I got one of each. Don't be bashful either. We all are proud of that one moment, your moment of glory, your back in the day moment, your sports most clutch moment you've ever had. Because that dude, that was everything on the line right there with Mitch Jeter, man. That was big. And side note, if I don't have a stake in the game, I'm always cheering for the kicker. I hate when they miss those. And it's like it's awful. It's just like
well,
so
like college awful. Kickers
any
or
kicker,
just any kicker?
Any kicker. Okay. If I unless I'm, you know, like on the other side and want them to miss it or something. But anyway, so your I want you to start thinking about this in Figgy 2. Your most clutch sports moment and your most non-sports clutch moment. Sports for me was I saved a touchdown in the final minute.
Okay.
With a forced fumble and fumble recovery.
Okay.
For the district championship.
Look at Al Bundy over here.
How about
man?
Al Bundy?
Man. All right.
How about Al Bundy? Now, that's not the one that we talked about that they scored on us later.
Oh, yeah.
But
one when you ain't get that stop.
When I did not get that stop. So, not too many pats on the back by myself here, but at least that one I did. Non-sports. Some of our listeners may remember this. Sean Pendergast, if he's listening, Seth Payne, if he's listening, probably will remember this. So we had a roast of John McClain back in the day. And Rich Lord somehow didn't make it to the improv. It was at the Houston Improv, big event. All kinds of stars were there. You know, Kubiak was there. Arian Foster was there, who, by the way, he killed it that night. A lot of, roasters, so to speak. Rich Lord didn't make it.
And did you guys hear?
And our program director came up to me and said, hey, Rich can't do it. Can you roast John? While I'm in the seats. And I was coming up like in two or three speakers.
Damn.
So I just pulled out a little note. Actually, I went to the back of the room and I pulled out a little notepad and just started scribbling like just one-liners and stuff about people in the room.
Uh-huh.
And McClain and all that. And then they set me up there and I... freaking crushed it,
I wonder if some of that
crushed it
is you just didn't have a time to you didn't have yes. very much time to worry if it was good or if it was you were just like look man this is what we got to get off.
I was just getting off for about 8 or 10 minutes and
8 or 10 you did 10
yes
that is
yes
I thought
crazy.
You were like hey man this is a solid 5 right quick and we go 10
dude
because that time
me get up in the improv then
yeah
man.
Everything funny I don't could think
that.
About and I actually you know because you talk about the crowd first I actually roasted Arian Foster in Spanish you know like a little segment in Spanish, and he was dying laughing because, you know, I said yesterday, you know, he's Hispanic, and that, I think that's how I got into it. Hey, y'all don't know this, but, and then I, whatever. But I felt like I just absolutely, and most people there really enjoyed it, but I felt like I cried. That was my most clutch non-sports moment. How about you?
That's very clutch. I'm having a hard time because I feel like my big sports moments were not actually like clutch because ultimately, like the one that I thought of was when I was playing select soccer. I played goalie when I was playing soccer, and there was just like a crazy shot that came in. And the reason why I remember this, I saved it, but it was because, you know, not every field is maintained to the highest quality. Okay. And on my touchline there was just a whole bunch of rocks and stuff. So yeah. I make the dive, but then my whole thigh is tore up.
I bet.
And then for the rest of the game, I'm playing with a tore up thigh. And then goals are scored because I'm just not moving as well. So that I don't feel like that don't count as clutch. Like, it was an incredible goal that I made, like diving save, but that didn't feel like clutch. Yeah,
but you did make the one.
Right. I mean, it was an incredible save to make. But I feel like I don't stand comparison to some of the people that are texting in. Like Ronald on YouTube said, got his wife to say yes, definitely an underdog there.
All right.
Understand okay. and appreciate that. But from the 832, first game of the freshman year, 12 solo tackles from the free safety position, capped off with a blocked field goal that prevented a tie.
Damn, right, okay.
That is that. See, like I'm not beating that clutch wise. Yeah. I'm just absolutely not. Some other ones that came in. Someone said they caught a bullet with their bare hands. Real or lie?
All right, John Wick.
Get out of here.
Like there's.
Hey, salute to John Wick from the 713.
I'm gonna need you to give me a lot more details on that.
Yeah.
Before
Figgy?
I fully understand.
Yeah. So my clutch sports. I ain't got a lot because I ain't really play as much, but I did play Muni League football. And my clutch moment, the highlight of my career was during practice. We was doing those drills where we lay on our back and they blow the whistle. We got to get up and tackle.
Oklahoma drill?
Yeah. So I did that. Mind you, I'm like the third one to do this. And the first two wasn't really good. It was like soft. Like you could tell the kids ain't want to tackle.
Yeah.
So I get up there. I grabbed this guy, had him up in the air, drove him down, and everybody like, oblique!
Pounding your chest.
Yeah. They were like, oblique! And then the coaches had me do it again. I had to do it the next three times. So that was my practice highlight right there, because I ain't really played much. But my life clutch moment, it was actually around here. I kind of felt like a boss around here because... So this was last season. I was doing the HEB tailgate stuff. And one of the salespeople went with me. And she had a good time and all that stuff. And I want to say like 2 weeks later, she called me freaking out like, hey, I got this client that they got it's an HEB deal going on with this whatever it was.
Yeah.
And she was like, I need to get in touch with somebody from HEB. I don't know what I'm going to do, man. And then I'm like, hold on, I got you. I called somebody over there, straightened it all out.
All right.
And, there you go.
And that person called me. Oh, my God, you just saved my ass.
I solved problems.
I got a
fig. I solved problems.
So I'm like, He like, I owe you one. I never got that favorite back, by the way.
Hey, it's still out there.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's still out
there. Well, she's not here no more. It's over.
Dial it up.
But yeah,
somehow, some way you get
I felt
back.
Like a boss right there. I'm like, let me make a couple calls.
I know someone.
Oh, wow. Shout out to the 281 who, again, y'all got the better answers than any of us. They said they had 39 points in a high school game against their rival. I noticed you didn't say that you won. They also said that they gave a kidney to their brother. So, yeah.
Oh, there we go.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah, those 713
ran into a building to save three kids.
Mm. Real or no?
I believe it.
Okay.
Yeah, very good. I believe that.
Yeah.
Somebody said 17 strikeouts to send the team to the state championship in high school. Oh, I know. You was mad, man.
Greg Maddox?
Wow. Yeah, I was like, that is.
Thank you for listening to the show.
73-mile-an-hour curveball.
Under 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, we were down 6-2 against North Shore, and it just happened to be raining with a perfect setting, and I ran the kickoff all the way back for the game-winning touchdown.
All right. We got some athletes out there.
Yeah,
we got some athletes.
This is the perfect opportunity to just go ahead and get, you know.
Get your Uncle Rico on.
Yeah, relive. Back in my day when I was playing sports from the 713, clutch sports moment, preventing a home run with the catch over center field wall. That's one, like,
that was Ocho.
Yeah, that was one reason why I wish I'd played baseball, like, as a kid. Mm-hmm. I want to have like those kind of moments. I really regret not being able to play baseball as a kid, because like that I feel like there was a lot of meat left on the bone. Doing those.
It was one moment I had in high school. This was during gym time, and they had some type of athlete thing where I guess you do all these different things throughout the gym.
Like an obstacle kind of thing?
Yeah. And my gym teacher had me doing the shoulders something where you just kind of go up and down.
Oh, gotcha.
Like on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. On your hands in the push-up position.
Yeah.
And apparently I like shattered all type of records.
There we go.
And he was like, yeah, I want you to enter the contest because we competing against other schools. And I was just too cool for school. I was just like, man, I ain't got time. I'm trying to go. I tried to be out on the block somewhere with the homies, man. Like this, I ain't trying to do this corny stuff.
Oh, man.
I wish I could. I was so stupid back then. I wouldn't even be here if I went to compete.
You'd be on Gladiators.
That's right. I'd be on World's Strongest Man.
That's right.
Somebody said, oh, wow. See, I wonder how this one feels, and wonder if the Texans are going to try and be in the same space. Said, me and the boys beating Katie Seco Ranch to win our first playoff game. Even our own fans and dance team didn't believe in us.
Oh, man.
All right, Texans.
Okay.
All right, Houston Texans.
We got four touchdowns in one game. We've got running the Houston Half Marathon. We've got scoring a winning goal in playoff hockey to send them to the finals. A lot of clutch.
Look at our listeners.
A lot of clutch listeners.
Look at our listeners.
Right here on Sports Radio.
Could have made it to the league, man.
Yeah, man.
And it just
throw the ball a quarter mile.
You know what stopped it? Politics.
Yeah, that's right.
It was just could have been soaking in the hot tub with my soulmate.
Yeah, that's right.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. So coming up next, let's go around the NFL where we officially have a game moved for Wild Card Weekend, and there's been some announcements on who will be playing the London games next year. We'll talk about that more next.